right. Well, we are going to start right off with me teaching you something. I'm going to make sure you don't walk away empty-handed this morning. I have a lesson for you. And any of you who know me know that I am musically challenged. I cannot sing and clap at the same time in worship, and am tone deaf and just have no rhythm. And so what this equates to is I cannot dance. I am not a good dancer, never am. So this was a point of anxiety for a long time for me. You know, you would be going to a dance and you knew you had to go out on the floor at different times, you know, but you just didn't know how to do it. You couldn't do it. Well, in 2009, I was leading a teenage mission trip in Reynosa, Mexico, and that all changed for me. And what happened is the youth leader there shared something with me that I'm going to teach y'all now, and you will never be the same. It's called Big Fish, Little Fish, Put It in a Box. You can laugh if you want to, but here's what it is. Big fish, little fish, put it in a box. And that is your go-to move. All you young people that are in the crowd right now, you will be at that point. You'll be in a dance, and you'll know you have to be out there, and you'll be panicked. You may even be on the floor dancing, and all of a sudden, all motor skills leave you. It just happens. It does. When it does, I want you to remember, big fish, little fish, put it in a box. And as you advance, you can do multiple boxes. You can do multiple fish. But it looks something like this. All right, Louis. Thank you. Big fish, little fish, put it in a box. And you thought you were going to leave empty-handed. If you are a visitor with us today and happen to have a Connect card, do not write your comments on the back of that Connect card, please. Just, you're welcome. You're welcome. So you say, how is that going to be relevant in our message today? And the message today is one, if you've ever heard the term, man, you're putting God in a box. Has anybody ever heard that term? We're limiting the power of our God. And it's not an accurate statement because we can't do it. Genesis 1, first verse in the Bible, says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything, billions of galaxies, you and me, perfect order, perfect plan. He created it all. Could we really put him anywhere we want? How arrogant is that? We can't. But what we do is we limit his power in our life. And it's us that are really in the box. It's our small-minded thinking. It's our anxiety. Just like a middle school kid in his first dance not knowing what to do, we have this anxiety. We have this fear. We have this just trepidation about what might happen with God being active in our lives. So we don't go all the way. We don't really reach into the plans he has for us all the time. And so today's message is about maybe putting a change to that. And I'm guilty of it. I'll tell you right now. Weeks ago, we sat right in here, and I did not know the goal for the Half a Christmas Challenge this year. I didn't know what it was. And I sat right here, and Brandon announced $50,000. And no offense to Brandon, but I had the thought, I'm like, man, does he have a screw loose? $50,000? Really? But here we are, Christmas Eve, $10,000 a service, over $50,000 raised for the homeless shelter and for these ministries. Can you imagine the good that's going to happen from that? That's God. That's God working through us. That's what God does. When we can move ourselves and our small-minded thinking out of the way, God does big things. And that's what the message today is. We have these four things: worship fully, spend less, you know, give more so we can love all. Today's message is what if? What if That truly isn't just an Advent habit that we start to form. Those four things that we're talking about doing, what if we stopped limiting God and what he can do in our lives? What if we stopped limiting what God can do through our lives? That's what today's message is. What if? And for those of you that were a part of the Legacy South team and started, you've heard this story, so bear with me. But I want you to hear God working and being active in our lives when we're thinking small-minded. Because I was that way just a few weeks ago. We were sitting here, and if you look out to the side here, there's a nice, beautiful gray trailer, covered trailer. That is Legacy South. We have Legacy South piled in that trailer, and we go take it and set it up every time. Well, I was shopping for the trailer, and my plan was a used trailer. You know, $3,000, maybe $3,500. You know, I found out people don't get rid of used trailers if they're worth it. If they're good, they just don't unload them. I could not find one that worked in the price range we wanted. So we ended up buying a brand new trailer, $5,200. And it's a Friday when I get this quote. It's a $5,200 trailer, and the spare is $129. So $5,329 is the price that I have. And I'm like, man, we can't do that. We don't have that budgeted. That's $2,000 plus over what we can do. I'm like, man, he's going to have to come down more. He had already given us a deal on it. What are we going to do? I was preaching that Sunday. That was Friday. I was preaching that Sunday at Moffitt. Moffitt is our church out in Moffitt, and it's probably about 20 people that come to worship there. Fantastic congregation. I've preached there all year, and it was their harvest fest. And there's probably 40 people in worship that day. There's all these people. It was a big Sunday for us in Moffitt with 40 people. But in that service, we have a moment where we announce things for the church, the good of the church. Is there any news for the good of the church? And so I make the offer for announcements, and Cindy is her name. She gets up and starts coming down the aisle. And that is never, when you're preaching, that is never a good thing. When somebody is coming up to the platform and you don't know what they're about to say, you just, you know, you kind of are like, okay, what's going to happen? I move out of her way. She sits right here. She's like, I got something to say. I'm like, well, it's yours, Cindy. She says, the Moffitt Church has decided this year that our Harvest Fest is going to benefit Legacy South. And she hands me a check for $5,000. It was just awesome. But it wasn't done because God is big in his thinking. And so we go to do offering, and there's an envelope in the offering that says Legacy South. And Cindy takes that and hands it to me. She says, one person couldn't be here. They gave you this. I open it up. It's a check for $200. So $5,200 for a trailer. We have $5,200, but God wasn't done. We have a meal afterwards. We have a potluck, and it's a free will offering. So the free will offering, they also donated to Legacy South. So at the end of the meal, she comes up to me, hands me another check for $125. So I'd had this bill for $5,329 that I was all distraught, all anxious about, like a failed, flawed human that I am, on Friday. And I'm driving back Sunday after worship with $5,325. And I had $6 in my wallet. So we had a trailer and a cup of coffee because that's how God works. And that's the power I'm talking about us tapping into in 2019. What could that look like if we quit putting a limit on what God could do in and through this church, in and through you in your life? So let's look at it just a little bit. Look at these Advent conspiracy points with a what if attitude. Man, what if we don't make this a season where, you know what, Advent is just that season? What if we make this something where, you know what, Advent is going to last longer? We start to worship fully every day. We get up, we start off praising God. We're thanking him for the day we have, for the life we have. And man, God, what are we going to do with it today? And then when troubles come against us, just like Mary, she wasn't planning on a baby. Bam, Holy Spirit drops a baby on her. She starts glorifying God. We start glorifying God in our troubles because people will be watching how we handle it, and people also will be moved by how we handle that when we know that we can glorify and praise God because we're not alone in our struggles. What if we really started to become a people who worship fully every day? Spending less, easy to do on gifts. All the youth are in here like, oh, I don't know about that. Man, what if we started to just budget and really think about what we're spending our money on, started to identify the difference between need and want. Maybe it's a meal out every month that you don't take. Maybe it's a different car, not a brand new car, but a late model car. Maybe it's a trip that there's some changes made to. Maybe it's a clothing budget. I don't know. But then you take that money, and what do you do with it? What is God calling you to do with this money? It may be your household. Maybe you're strapped with debt, and you need to put that towards your debt so that your household gets better. Maybe it's savings. Maybe it's something else donation-wise that you're being called to out there. But if we can be a people who start to do that, what would that look like? What if? Man, what if we became a people who started to give more? And I'm not talking about giving of the spending less. I'm talking about giving more of ourselves. Man, what if I could become a dad? What if we could become parents? When our kids come up to us, we put our phone down and give them our full attention, knowing that, man, you are the most important thing in my life at this moment. What you have going on matters to me. What if we could do that with our spouse? Instead of yelling stuff over your shoulder, you take that moment to make sure that they know that you thank God for them today. What if? What if we started to give more of ourselves in the community, in the church? You want a place to volunteer? Man, we got it. We are a multi-site church now. You may say, I can't go do anything. I can't serve. I'm just really bound up. I can't leave home. We have an online campus that's growing, and we are trying to staff that with people that are going to be able to chat with our online community every single Sunday. There's a place for you to volunteer at Legacy. Legacy North has had some great volunteers go south. There's openings in children's, in youth. There's openings to serve. Legacy South, man, we have all sorts. We set a church up every day. It's in the trailer. We have opportunities to serve. What if we became a people that consciously said, I'm going to give of myself to someone else? They're leading us towards that path of loving all. And when I was preaching the love all message last week down south, I talked about three things. I talked about sending, I talked about serving, and I talked about seeing. Sending is we're going to be a church who sends people into the world. Next summer, not this one, I'm going to lead a Living Water trip to plant a well. We're going to dig a well because kids are dying every single day around the world just from not having clean water. Something that we turn a knob and take for granted is killing children. And I believe we can make a difference in that. And I'm going to lead a trip every year is my plan to do that. Serving in the community is something we're going to do, we already do, we should do. But seeing is the one I want y'all to think about today. Seeing people the way God sees them. Man, if we're going to love all, we got to see them like children of God. We got to see them like brothers and sisters. All. That's a pretty encompassing word. All. We might not be able to do that on our own. But man, when we start to tap into that Holy Spirit power, that's when these things really start to take off. And I don't want you to mistake this message. This is not a, you know, let go and let God message. It's not. We tap into that power and we want to let God, but we want to let God work in us because that's what God does. But we move this season from an Advent season into an Ephesians 3:20 season because Ephesians 3:20 reads like this. It says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. There's two parts of that verse I want to point out for you. It's such a great reminder of God's power. His mighty power at work within us. God's mighty power at work in us, manifesting itself in the world by how we interact with people, how we love people, how we give of ourselves, how we spend our money, how we worship. God's power manifests itself in us. And then the second one, more than we might ask or think. I believe God has huge plans for Legacy. all the campuses. I believe God has huge plans for legacy. And one of my biggest goals as a pastor is to stay out of his way. But think about that trip I talked about. A living water trip and going and making a well. That'd be a great deal. Say a village of 30 people gets a well. But man, say the next year, the North Campus and the South Campus send a team and we do 2 wells. And after that, 4 wells. And after that, 8 wells. 8 wells every year. And that goes, and in 10 years, we'd have 63 wells dug. And over 2,000 people at roughly 30 people in the village, over 2,000 people would have water. And those of you that do math are kind of wrinkling your brow because it only adds up to about 1,800. And you're right. But what would happen is the children that are dying from not having clean water wouldn't be dying anymore. And that would be another couple of hundred kids that would be alive in the world today because we decided to give up a week's vacation to raise some funds and to go serve around the world because God loves them and we need to love them too. That's the thinking I'm talking about, what if? And that's my thinking. What do you think God has planned? I get excited. I don't know. I get excited. This power. It's kind of new to some people. I was raised in a Bible household. You know, the authority of Scripture. The Holy Spirit, man, we talked about it, but it wasn't super active at that time. That came later to me in my faith walk. This power we're describing is the power that's all through the Scriptures. Man, it took Joseph from a slave to a ruler. It parted the Red Sea, this power I'm talking about. This power calms the oceans. This power, it heals the sick. It makes the lame walk. It makes the blind see. This power raises the dead. It's all through Scriptures. It closes lions' mouths. It protects people from the fiery furnace. This power is in there, and that power is still here for us today. And here's how I know that. It's because Scripture says so. I got 2 verses for you. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus doesn't change. God does not change. That power, he was there before it all began. He created it all. And that power that did all those things in the Bible, that power is still there. And I followed up with John 14:12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. And hear this, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. And even greater works. Greater than we could imagine is what Scripture talks about. Man, what if we start imagining some really big things for 2019 and they're going to be greater because that's the way God thinks? What if we opened up that box that God doesn't fit in anyway and we started to really tap in to what he has planned? If that's going to happen, I'm going to have to teach you another skill because I have been 10 years in professional ministry. 10 years ago, I'm a living example of this. 10 years ago, I was running restaurants. Joanne and I were running restaurants with no children, and I couldn't dance. That's where we're at. I think God has these amazing plans for this church. But here's the key to it. We've got to make sure they're his plans. And that's the key. And so as I close this up for you, I want to give you Jesus modeling this for us. And it's just my favorite prayer in Scripture. And he's in the garden, and he's about to be crucified for us. And it's Luke 22:42. This is what he prays. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. He didn't want to do it. He was fully human, and he knew what was coming. And you can just see him there. Father, is there any other way? I'm scared. I'm anxious. I'm nervous. I don't want to do this. yet I want your will to be done, not mine. I sat in a prayer meeting, not a meeting, just a chance to pray last week. We had gotten news of a loved one who had 2 months to live, and we're praying. And the prayer was offered up, God, we pray for miracles. We want a miracle. And it was followed right up, but we want your will to be done. We trust you and your goodness and your plan for our lives. So we want to feel your presence at this time. And it was the perfect prayer for that moment. And I think that those types of prayers are the challenge for 2019. Man, I think we dream big dreams. I think we pray big prayers. But I think we really look for where God is leading us as individuals and legacy as a church. Because I think we have to take the lid off these insecurities. They're keeping us from the blessings. God has blessings that he has planned for us. So my challenge to you is, what do you think God has planned for 2019? What if we find out? Let's pray. Father God, you amaze me at your goodness. You're so good to us, Lord. You love us so much. I pray that you will help us to this year start on a new path. Not one where we are filled with anxiety and worry and fear, but one of hope, excitement. Excitement in what you are going to do and what we are going to be able to be a part of with you. I pray that you will continue to guide and direct us in all things we do, Lord. We love you and give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.